Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to This is the Place, a podcast series from The Common magazine on the New Books Network. The Common publishes literature and art with a modern sense of place. I'm Emily Everett, managing editor of the magazine and host of the channel. Today, we'll be talking to Anoop Kumar about her essay, The Woman in the Well, which appears in issue 23 of The Common. Anoop Kumar's most recent works are the novel The Hottest Summer in Years and the collection A Sense of Time and Other Stories. Her nonfiction works on the lives of early South Asians in America appears this year from Simon & Schuster India and Yoda Press. Her work has appeared or is forthcoming in The Maine Review, Chicago Quarterly Review, Numero 5, Past 10, TheJuggernaut.com, Atlas and Alice, and elsewhere. She lives in New Jersey and has an MFA from Vermont College of Fine Arts. Anoop Kumar, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, nice to be here. Thank you, Emily, for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Would you set the scene for our conversation? Just describe where you're calling from now.
Yes, I'm in the basement of my house in Montville, North New Jersey. I'm sitting on the floor in front of a low table, and there are books all around me. And from the window outside, I can see a pond, lots of trees. Sometimes a small fox will go by. Otherwise, it's fairly quiet where I am. I mean, yep.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Yes. Just a small fox going by while we're podcasting, I hope.
Yeah.
I would love to start with a reading from your essay. Would you just read the first few paragraphs for us?
Yes, sure. Yeah. Okay. The Woman in the Well. For nearly 2 years of my life, I lived with a ghost. It was when my father, a civil servant, was posted in Sambalpur, a now forgotten town in northern Odisha, a state in India's east. Newspapers then and even now always added the descriptor, India's poorest state, whenever Odisha made the headlines. This happened in the late 1980s when several hunger-related deaths were reported in a tribal-dominated district in the state's west, and a decade later after an Australian missionary was burned to death along with his two sons by a group led by a Hindu fanatic. The time I remember was some years before all that. I was 11, my brother 10, and we lived in a bungalow by the river Mahanadi, where civil servants like my father had lived for about a century or more. An old British-era house with a slanting asbestos roof, huge rooms, doors with folding panels, old-fashioned bathrooms, a long hallway that led out from the storerooms and old kitchen toward a courtyard, in a corner of which stood an old stone well, and at last the garage. A wall surrounded and separated us from the river on one side, and on the other side from the road that ran right through the city and later became the highway leading out. At first, I wasn't sure how to refer to the ghost. I couldn't even picture what it looked like. Ghosts were flighty, incorporeal beings, living between heaven and earth, unable to belong to either. In every story I had heard or read, ghosts came about because of an untimely or early death, and their unassuaged spirits always hovered in a sinister way. Some could do wicked things. The more benign ones condescended to a little mischief, but they were never up to any good. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you for reading that. For our listeners who may not have read your essay yet, would you just describe or sort of summarize what the piece is about?
Yes, it's from a time more than 30 years ago, set in a small town in Odisha, which in India's east. And it relates to a ghost who lived in the house with us in the stone well that was in the courtyard of the house. And the story of the ghost, it haunted us for a long time in every sense, the ghost and the story behind it. And I carried it with me, carried the story with me in every other place I lived, trying to come to the meaning of what the ghost actually meant to us, meant to me in the 2 years that I lived there. And then I tried to figure out what the story actually meant, what the ghost actually stood for, that it was a metaphor of all the other things about violence that I came to experience and understand later on in my life. So essentially it's that.
That's a perfect summary. I was wondering, like, what inspired you to start work on this essay? You say you've sort of carried it with you all these years. And how did you actually start work on it?
It was kind of complicated because, there's so many of us, I mean, women, who grow up with a lot of fear, we are told, don't do this, don't do that, because something bad will happen. So the specter of violence is always something we carry around us. And there are stories that we have heard, something's happened to this woman, something happened to that, if she broke the rules or if she did something dangerous or bad. So one knew of all these episodes, all these stories, one had experienced it, but one just didn't have the words, because either we thought that it happens to everyone, it's so ordinary, it's so common, it's something we live with. And on the other hand, there's also this thing that, it's too small a matter. If everybody's gone through it, your story is no different. What difference will it make? But I think, as time went by and in about a decade ago, there was a terrible incident of violence in Delhi, which is India's capital, where a young woman was raped, brutally gang raped on a city, inside a city bus. And it shook up a lot of people. Laws were changed and all that. And I had traveled in the same buses and I had experienced being molested and harassed inside city buses. And suddenly it seemed to make sense. Maybe the passage of time and having the story being replayed to me in diverse ways over time. Suddenly it came together, maybe time, maturity, experience helped. And I also understood that there's no story that is not unimportant. Everybody's story is important and it matters how you say it and that it will reach the people, your readers, in some way if you put your heart in telling your story right. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, I think we all followed that news when it was happening and, subsequent incidents and the laws being changed and things like that. So I feel like, if you had written this essay 10 years ago, I think you might've had to like explain a lot about how things were in India. But I think by the time this came out, I think that your average reader is sort of aware of that as sort of an ongoing problem. And it really colors our experience of this ghost in the well and understanding what might've happened to her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love how this essay starts out. It feels more like a traditional ghost story. I think people can feel that in the part that you read. And then it develops into something which is much more concrete. Like you're saying, it's still quite dark, but about sort of India's problems with rape and the fear that women live with. Did you weigh like how much to incorporate those more ghostly or haunted elements, those elements of fear?
It took me some time to work out the essay. And the impressions, all that I experienced and what I lived through in that time, more than 30 years ago in Orissa, they're actually quite vivid to me because I think I'm still making sense of that time. And it's only now, I have been a writer for about 25 years and a bit more, but it's only now that I realize that how much of that time actually has seeped into my writing. And that I really need to go back there and, pull up the pieces, pull them apart to make sense of if any writing that I do now or even later. So those images and everything is very vivid to me. And it's only by understanding that period, which I couldn't for a long time, for 10, 20 years after that, which I couldn't for a long time and which makes sense now, it helped at understanding that time and putting down everything that's in the mind, in the memory. And once I do that, it just flowed. It had a natural flow. It coalesced and everything seemed to come together. So because of the images from the that I had of the past, they spoke to me and I could later use that to understand events of the present and later. I'm not sure if this is making sense, but even at that time, I was puzzled. I was curious about the ghost because she seemed to excite a lot of fear. But to me, I mean, as I write in the essay, she always evoked a lot of curiosity in me because I went down to the well and actually looked in. So I knew there had to be a backstory to her. And figuring out the backstory, which is what the essay leads to, took me time. And then I understood the violence that she had undergone, the violence that most women experience and are not able to talk about. That came together in a natural flow.
No, that's great. That's really helpful. So I'm sure you know this, but the common focus is on work with a modern sense of place. And your piece is such a great example of how writing can really transport us, like not just to a place, but to a totally different time. And you know, you've been talking about writing from memory. And when I was reading this, I was just amazed with how vivid it feels. Even though you're writing from memories that are decades old at this point, there's a lot of great sights and sounds. I love, you know, there's this passage where it talks about all the different sounds. You hear the jackals barking and that kind of thing. But can you just talk about was there anything you had to do to make sure that was feeling vivid from memory, like that your memories were going to come across to readers?
The jackal thing, that was something I've always, I still remember, you know, especially when I see the foxes around here and the pond just next to my house. You know, it's so similar to the time I lived in Sambalpur with the river just behind the, just next to, beyond the wall and the creatures and the jackals and everything. But yes, I worked with Liz, my editor on this piece, and she was extremely helpful because the questions she asked, the pointed questions she asked and the suggestions, they made me actually go even deeper into my past, into the memories. One of the most valuable suggestions she had was, tell us more about the puja, what the priest did, what actually did he make you all do? And I recollected vividly the incense, the smell of the incense sticks, the way he chanted the mantras, and the misogynistic things that he said about me. I mean, it all came back because obviously I've carried it all for a long time. So, but Liz's suggestions really helped me a lot. And did I answer the question? Okay. I think.
Yeah, I think so. I always love hearing about the revision process between the writer and the editor. And that doesn't surprise me. I know Liz Whittier, who's sort of our nonfiction editor, is so great at, pushing people to go deeper and dig deeper into not just memory, but into, you know, sort of their perspective on what they're writing about, you know, sort of putting themselves in the story. So,
And the other thing is, I moved around so much. All the family albums, the pictures, they're all with my mother and my siblings in India. So, I mean, I have to remember it all myself. So these images that I carry around seem to make more sense over time. So that's the only thing I have. No, there are virtually very, very few photographs that I have. The older generation is passing away and I don't go back to India much. So yeah, so the memory bit matters a lot to me increasingly over time. Yeah.
That's great. There's such an interesting theme running through this piece about gender. I think we've already talked about it a little bit, but there's so many of these moments where we see that the narrator and her brother are treated differently. But I also think it's interesting because the brother is more fearful throughout. You know, he's very scared of the ghosts and these ghost stories that they're hearing about. And yet we know as the essay develops that it is the narrator who really has more to fear from the world because it's a world of men and she's a girl. Can you talk about developing that theme here about sort of gender and the men around her?
Yeah. In fact, Emily, your question actually put it in amazing perspective because I've been thinking about it since yesterday. That yeah, that's quite true. It was my brother who was actually the coward, and the one who actually was more afraid of things, you know. And because he was the only son and the boy, he was pampered, and his fears were taken seriously. You know, they really mattered. That you know, if he felt a movement outside the window or if he heard, even if there was the slightest whisper in the dark, he would be really scared. And my grandmother, my parents would take it all very seriously. But my inchoate fears, I mean, even when I didn't have the words for these fears, I had no one to talk to. And I guess because there was there was hardly anyone to reach out to, there was no one to reach out to, these fears only accumulated. And I guess it happened with my peers, with almost every woman I came across, that they carried these fears, these insecurities that each one of us has to live with, you know, have to live with. And so I mean, there's a difference between how, you know, emotions and sentiments of men are treated. They are taken more seriously, you know, with more respect, and while women's fears are dismissed as something minor, something that they have to deal with, something perfectly ordinary. It happens every time. So yes, there's that dichotomy that I did perceive, but I've been thinking about it since yesterday, and yes, it's something I have to think about a lot more. And the injustice, the unfairness of it all does hurt, and it still rankles. And I guess the more I write, the more it'll more I'll be able to articulate it better. So yeah,
no, that's great. There's a really there's a moment that I keep coming back to in the essay where the narrator reveals that she's sort of gone against what her parents said, and she looked into the well even though they told her not to, and she fears punishment. But even in that moment, they're just paying attention to her brother, and there is no retribution. And instead of feeling sort of glad that she didn't get in trouble, she just sort of feels that no one is ever going to pay attention to her because her brother's there, and his fears are more important than an actual transgression that she might have done.
Now that you say it, yes. The answers that I have found, or the answers I'm trying to find, most of the time have come to me when I have, gone against what people have advised, or followed my own heart. So it's like looking for answers by myself, regardless of the rules or anything. And I think that was the fact of going into the well and trying to look for her story is something I kind of did on my own over time. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I guess you've been doing that since you were a little girl.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't want to give away too much of the ending, but I wanted to ask you about the choice to sort of bring us back to the present moment, because we get this moment of sort of reckoning and maybe catharsis at the end of the essay, and you talk about writing stories that dig into these topics for women, and that all these stories are important and worth talking about. And then I just love this final exchange that you have. There's a phone conversation with your mother about what she remembers. How did you decide on this as an ending? Like, did you always want to bring us back to sort of the present time?
Actually, the ending, it came quite naturally. I think it's because, I don't want it to sound so too pat and easy, but because maybe I've been sitting with the story for such a long time that when I thought about it, it just came naturally. But over time, my mother also understood, I have a younger sister, seeing the struggles both of us have gone through, you know, marriages and movements and stuff like that. So I think she was also more empathetic in some ways. So I thought that made an apt ending. About the flow, yes, I worked with Liz at it, and she helped me a lot. The story behind the ghost, and how I kind of tried to look for a resolution to her story and the other stories that I've heard over the years. I kind of try to look for the backstory, the inner inside story, what people are not able to articulate properly. And I think that's one way I've found as a writer to tell a story, to really go deeper into what's on the surface, you know. And women's stories especially are like that. You know, they seem perfectly ordinary. Everybody is living the same patterned existence. But the inchoate feelings, the seething emotions inside, that's what's more interesting to me these days. And I just want to find out more and write more about that. Yes.
Like I said,
there's no life that is not uninteresting. So, yeah.
Right. And having not been able to tell these stories for so long, and you know, there isn't always a good resolution, but maybe the resolution is just being able to tell them and talk about them. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm always curious about how writers approach the revision process. You talked a little bit about working with Liz. Is there anything else you want to say about the revision process for this piece, like sort of how it changed from the first draft to the final draft, or any sort of like methods you usually use for revision?
At first, it was much too much personal, that I felt that there was too much of me. I mean, there is. It's a first-person narrative. But as I worked on the piece and I thought more about it, and as I worked with Liz and I revised, it was, the ghost, the woman in the well who seemed to matter, and how her story needed to be told, and story of, say, of other women like her, and that came to matter. And I was also very, I really worked hard at bringing the images from the past to life. And I put a lot of effort in that. I thought the story of this woman, it would make sense only if one got an idea of the world she lived in, the house that she lived in, what she did. And I really forced myself to go back even more, trying to figure her out. And the stories that came my way about her, about going to meet the guru at the other person's house and seeing his disciples, and then finally the man who used to be her. Oh, I think I'm giving a bit too much.
You're the boss.
Yeah. The man, I mean, all the people who once knew her. So... That, I mean, I realized that I had to step out of myself, and even though there was a lot of fear, the fear came back to me as I wrote this piece. I had to actually think more about her world, and make the piece wider, so that to do to justice to her, because in the end, I was writing about her more than me. So these were the challenges. So I still wasn't sure whether I succeeded, but then I had a marvelous editor, and I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, that's great. I love hearing that the sort of process the piece went through was sort of a broadening and then later a deepening. That totally makes sense to me, because those are the things that I notice about the piece. Yeah.
Okay.
So it seems like you have a very diverse and wide-ranging career as a writer. You've written nonfiction and fiction. You've written books for children, books for adults, historical fiction, more modern things, sort of a bit of everything. Can you just tell us about working in all those different ways? Like, are there sort of like upsides and downsides to working so broadly?
At one time, I thought it was all an upside, but actually now it's not so. I might take a bit longer on this, and it's a bit embarrassing to talk about my own process as a writer, but it's like this, like I came to writing quite accidentally. The first book I wrote actually was about a similar incident of violence that I witnessed, and a writer got me writing on it, because he said, write about something that makes you angry. And I didn't realize that it actually made me, that I had carried this anger with me. But the story behind this woman who was a victim of an acid attack, it became a book. But even then, I don't think I actually answered that, resolved the story properly. But anyway, that book got some attention in India, and somebody who had rejected it, an editor who had rejected it, she met me, and then she got me writing writing for children and stuff like that. And I, at first I thought, since I was just beginning as a writer, I thought it was a good thing that, I was getting a chance to write all these things when it might be difficult for other people. I realized, that I was spreading myself too much, and that, which is why it took me longer to come back to this story, like the woman in the well, which really spoke to me from the heart, because I realized it was, while it was difficult going back into the past, it was also very easy because I had carried all these images with me and not had time or space to put these down. Maybe my previous writing, the experience I had gathered helped, but I could have come back to it earlier. So maybe that was the downside. I mean, any writing helps, but I think as a writer, one. I mean, I don't know. I'm just figuring it all out. As a writer, one is always learning, but to get to the heart of things, one should really, you know, sink into something deep for it to make relevance to others, for your world to make meaning to others. You know, for any small world to come alive in the minds of other readers. So that was the thing. I at one time, I did see all this as an upside, but now I see that, you know, I should really focus on certain things, on writing things that really matter, which will make a lost world, a forgotten world like Odisha come alive, the stories of women come alive. And the other thing what I was trying to do by writing, you know, so much was, of course, one gets distracted, one tries to do things too fast. I was hoping, you know, some editor, because I read all these stories about writers and their partnerships and relationships with editors. And I mean, I was always thrilled by such stories, that, you know, how good novels come about, good things come about when writers work together with the editors, and it's such a marvelous partnership. So I longed for something like that to happen, you know, that I would write like this and an editor would notice me, and it would, and then finally I would become a much, much better writer. It's happened in a small way, it might seem a small bit, but for me, it's a big thing that, you know, Liz noticed it and I worked with her. So, yeah, it's like that. God, what a lot of things I said. I'm sure they don't make much sense.
No, that's so perfect. Hey, I asked. No, that makes a lot of sense. I think you're absolutely right that I think one of the hardest things about being a writer is how much time and energy it takes to think deeply about these things and to go in and do them justice and really just give yourself the time to get in there. And yeah, anything that takes you away from that, it's tough. I mean, I think that's the difficulty of being a writer. Yeah. So always our last question is just to ask what you're working on now. What's next? What do you want to share with us?
I think it's related to your last question about writing on history. I read history at university. People always tell me that, you know, you should have done research in it. But again, it was one of the things that I wasn't encouraged to do, you know, at home by my parents and the extended family. It was always thought that if you're studying history in college, and I went to a fairly, you know, well-known girls' college in India, and everybody thought, oh, you know, it's just a stepping stone for a good marriage and stuff like that. So I wasn't encouraged to do research, but I always wanted, I mean, I loved history as a subject. Which is why most of my writing has also been on history. Even this essay actually is history, because I go back to the past and I talk about Orissa. So yeah, what I'm working on mainly is stuff related to history. I do a long running series for a digital magazine called Scroll, and it's several short essays on the early South Asians who went to America, and the first lot of Americans who came to South Asia as merchants and writers and teachers. So I'm working on those kind of essays. And yeah, and I worked on recent work of historical crime. So yeah, I'm revising that at present. So stuff like that. I'm always trying to write something and read something. So yeah.
So no, those sound great. That sounds great. Anu Kumar, thanks so much for joining us. It's been really great to talk with you. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, Emily. It's been so nice. And I've been hesitating and stuttering over my answers, but thank you so much.
No, these are hard things to talk about. I mean, even an easier subject matter, talking about writing and articulating all these weird processes that we do as writers, that, you know, that's hard. It's hard stuff. Listeners, you can read Anu's essay and subscribe to the latest issue at thecommononline.org.